So the reason I was saying earlier that it was just kind of funny is one of the scriptures that the Lord led me to even this morning kind of ended in that way about peace. But so many times we look at something and like, how's this going to happen? What's going to get done? How, Lord, I just don't understand. We think to be healed, we got to stand on one foot and jump around while rubbing our head, right? We think for God to move mightily in our finances, we've got to go get an education in business so we can understand the finances. Well, if you're in that line of work, yes. But first off, I can tell you the very first thing you want to do. We just blessed it this morning. It's tithing. It's simple. It's complicated to our mind because we're like, Lord, how do I give 10% and still have enough money to pay the bills when I was already 10% behind? I'll be honest with you, I don't know how God works. He just does. He moves in our lives. In the garden, the serpent got us to doubt God. Doubt his faithfulness, doubt who he is. He's holding out on us. And ever since, that's how we've treated God. God, you got to do something hard. You got to be this. You got to be that. I've got to go take out an army. Has anybody ever really sat down and thought about how Israel took over Canaan? And how miraculous it all was? They marched around a fortified city that, according to all the stories we read and hear about Jericho, they raced chariots on the top of the wall. Rahab lived in her house that was in the wall. And the Bible says the walls came down. They walked over those walls. They didn't bring in RPGs and blow holes into walls. They didn't call in mortars to take it out. They walked around and they praised God. When you're hiding behind what your fortification is, you're like, woo, what happens when it falls? What happens when you're exposed? Your faith in that thing just fell. And all Israel had to do was go in and take the city. Here's a miracle of miracles. Rahab lived in the wall, right? The Bible says the walls came down, except for this patch. All around her, those walls came down, except for her home. God prefers to do things simply. He made us out of what? Dirt. It's probably the most common thing on our planet, besides oxygen maybe. I don't know. I didn't look to see what the most common element on the planet is, because there's dirt everywhere. I've been in several countries around the world and they got dirt pretty much like ours. And he made us out of dirt. But yet internally we are the most complex thing. But yet people that deny God say, well, it happened by accident. Really? It happened by accident that this little brain, this little thing up here inside my head controls everything about my body. It controls my breathing without me thinking about, my heartbeat without me thinking about, digestion without me having to sit there and think, oh, digest, digest, digest. Now, you may do that if you eat the wrong foods. You may say, oh, Lord God, please digest. I know I was yesterday. I ate chicken, pork, and beef, and then had a Pepsi. The Pepsi was the C4 on the cake. It was bad. I said, Lord, I forgive me for sinning. I won't do it again. You don't think about it, but yet it's something you do. You sit down, you eat a piece of cake, and you don't think about it. Your body's digesting that. Why is it able to digest a steak, but yet it's not digesting itself? Why is that stomach vial not digesting it? Because God knows the details. But we want things to be complicated. Well, God, it has to be like this. How many times have you thought about how something had to happen with God that he actually did it that way? I've been around for a while and it's never worked out for me. God, you're going to do it this way. You're going to use Faye. That's who you're going to use. You're going to use Faye. And God says, no, I'm going to use Monica. Why not? And see that one coming. A millionaire comes into the church and everybody says, woo, we're saved. And God says to the person who's struggling to get by, sow a seed. And they sow the seed and God moves. It ain't necessarily about the seed, it's about the obedience of the seed. Now, we're not going to get into abuse of that message, but what we are going to get into is how God uses the simple things. When you hold a seed in your hand, it looks very simple. You know, when you're eating a pot of beans, that was a seed. But yet you can eat it and it's nutrition to your body. In the book of 2 Kings, it's not going to come up. 2 Kings in chapter 5, starting verse 1, we read this little story about this man named Naaman. Naaman was the commander of all the armies of Syria. To put that into a historical perspective, most of us don't fully comprehend what took place during World War II and even into Korea. But Dwight D. Eisenhower, we call him General Eisenhower, but he was one of the only 5-star generals we've ever had. Not 4, 5. That placed him over Army, Navy, Marines, and at that point, the newly formed Air Force. He was over everybody. Nobody except the president outranked him. He was the one calling all the shots. This was Naaman. He was the commander of all of the military forces for Syria. And he got leprosy. And then during this, he had a servant girl that he had taken from Israel on a raid. And she said, told her mistress, there is a prophet in the land of Israel who can heal him. She tells her husband. Her husband goes to the king. The king sends gold and silver and clothing and says, go. And he also sent a message to the king of Israel, said, my man's coming, you heal him. How would y'all like to have that message? And you're not the prophet. He's like, why did he do this to me? I didn't do anything. I didn't. What? And he says, he gets word from Elisha, and Elisha says, send him. Go ahead, let him come so that he may know that there's a prophet in the land of Israel. Elisha wasn't saying this out of arrogance, because as a prophet, he knows his job is to draw people closer to God. See, people need to see your life and they be able to rejoice in your life of godliness. If they look at your life and it's not godly, they don't rejoice. They don't say, I want that. No, they say, I don't want that. So he goes. He goes and he finds the man of God in Samaria. He goes to the door and here is the top brass in all of Syria knocking on the door. And the man of God sends a servant. Doesn't even come to the door himself. And he tells his servant, tell him to go take a bath in our river, the River Jordan. Folks, for us, that would be like, let's go down here to the Whetstone. And I'm going to baptize you in the Whetstone. But not before the sewage treatment plant. I'm going to baptize you after the sewage treatment plant. And he got mad. He's driving away. He's furious. He's fuming. And he says, of all the things he asked me to do, he wants me to get in that dirty little river? He said, what about the rivers in Syria? Weren't they good enough? See, sometimes God asks us to do things. It has nothing to do about the location, but about our obedience. I rejected this location once. Somebody told me about it. I said, no. But God said, go back. And God made all the doors open. Because it wasn't good enough. It's not what I wanted. I didn't mind a little bit of work, but those of you who were here and you saw it, it was a lot of work. God isn't about those things fitting into your plans. He knows the future. He knows what's going on down the road. It's about your obedience. Are you going to obey me in this? A simple thing like cutting down a tree. God told me to cut one tree down. I said, no, I want to do this one. So I cut that one. And the one he told me to cut down fell on me and broke my back. And dislocated my vocal cords. So, importance is obeying God. That's it. God tells you to pay for somebody's meal at the store, at the restaurant. You pay for their meal. God tells you to buy somebody a tank of gas, you buy him a tank of gas. God will bless you. It's about obedience because you don't know where that person might be going. You don't know what's going on with their life. But if God tells you to do it, do it. So a servant said, but master, all he asked you to do was to take a quick bath. You don't even have to get soap out. Just 7 times. Naaman obeyed what God said. Yeah, he got mad. How many of you wouldn't? You want me to go get in that nasty, stagnant thing? And he did it. He went in and he dumped 7 times. The 7th time he came up, the Bible says that his skin was like that of a baby. It was renewed. It was refreshed. It was soft because of obedience. He went back to Elisha, knocked on the door, and he said, I want to give you all of this. I brought all of this gold, this silver, 10 changes of clothing when they probably had 1. Now, here is Elisha. He said, no, we'll not receive anything for that. He's like Abraham. He didn't get paid for what he did. God blessed him for what he did. He said, no, I won't take that payment. But he said, what will happen is you go back. At that moment, Naaman told him, he said, let me take 2 mule loads. So whatever the mules could carry, 2 mule loads of dirt from Israel back. He said, from this day forward, I will only worship your God. Do y'all know what just took place? The commander of the armies of Syria got saved. Do not think that that did not have effects down his chain of command. His general saw it. But he said, please pardon me when I have to go in with my king and he leans on me to get down. Evidently, the king was older, maybe had bad knees. I'm understanding that more and more. He got down and he said, when he leans on me, I have to bow. Please forgive me for that, for I am not worshiping this God anymore. Your God is the only God. Let the peace of God reign. Amen. At the end of that, Elisha said, go in peace. You are not sinning by serving your king, because you are not worshiping. That is your job. Now, I'm not saying if your job is to become a prostitute that you need to, totally different deal. Or drug dealer or whatever. Murdering people. Not saying all that. I'm saying what he did, he was not doing. He was not worshiping. Because in his heart, he had given his heart to Jehovah, the great I am. It was the only God he would recognize from that point on. A simple thing, a simple act. It's all he had to do. And he was healed. Now, I'm not going to get into Gehazi, the greedy servant, who decided to follow him. Say, hey, my master changed his mind. And when he got back, Elisha said, where'd you go? Well, I didn't go anywhere. Lie number one. When you start lying to the man or woman of God, understand this. There will be repercussions. Because Elisha said, didn't my heart go with you when you chased him down? Oh, I forgot you're a prophet. God tells you things. He said, because of your greed, you will bear leprosy the rest of your life, and so will your descendants. But Naaman didn't. Naaman gave glory to God. Naaman took a simple bath, and Naaman got healed and saved and came back rejoicing to the prophet. So many people today, they want to crawl to China. It's got to be so difficult. God just says, I'm asking you to take one step. You know, we were talking this morning about things in our lives and just how it gets to a point in our life. I've taught this, and I'm starting to hear other people on some of the programs we watch. They're finally starting to talk about it because everybody, you know, with prosperity, everybody's like, I want, I want, I want. Give me this, give me this. My name's Jimmy, Jimmy. Gimme, 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 right? They want things. We all want things. But when you're living your life to get the things instead of letting God bless you, you're missing out on the greatest blessing of all. Because we were just talking about how finally contentment. When you get content, God says, okay, now I can bless you. Contentment is not settling for. Contentment is saying, God, I no longer am pursuing that. We gave up on selling our house and moving out of town. I said, Lord, evidently 0.17 of an acre is what I will have the rest of my life. Because I'm done trying on my own. 30 days later, would you be interested in selling your house? Really, God? You do this now. We just got content in our heart about this. Angela finally gets to the point, she says, I'm done. Because I told her, I said, I'm done looking for a boat. We get done looking for a boat. 3 weeks later, Joshua comes and said, are you guys still looking for a boat? Because I know a deal. It's in my barn. To tell you how much more blessing there is, I had a brother come to me this morning and said, you know, brother, pastor, I got this at a garage sale. He said, open that up. He says, it doesn't have the gun. It's a flare gun set. He said, it doesn't have a gun. It's got everything in there. I said, brother, I got the gun, but I don't have any of that. That's a blessing. That's God. I didn't pursue that. As a matter of fact, I keep forgetting to look for the kit. That is God. When you give up chasing things, God just said, I want you to trust me. So many people think that they've got to spend hours locked in a dark closet, sweating and praying and believing. I get more from God sitting on my front porch in my chair, drinking my coffee, watching the birds, the squirrels, my dog chase them, and just enjoying what God has created in this planet. Jesus went to the mountain time after time after time to get away from things and get with God. Why? Because he got away from all the people seeking things. Secret people, even in the spiritual realm, trying, brother, pastor, give me what you got. Go do what I did. I got alone with God. I went and did this. I went and sat. Well, I can't just sit. Then you're never going to fully understand God. Because we think we got to be doing something all the time. What was Adam's job? Was he a Wall Street businessman? Did he start a factory and build things? No, he was a gardener. That's what he did. That was his job. His and everybody from that point on. We wouldn't have to be trying to build buildings. We don't know if God would have ever had us do that or not. We don't know. The earth isn't what it was. The climate's not the same. I mean, Adam and Eve were naked. Obviously, they weren't in Michigan. They were closer to Florida in that belt. God planted this tiny garden. The whole thing wasn't a garden. It still needed to be brought into order. And that's why God told him, bring it into submission. It was an easy job for him. Wasn't nothing hard. Bible says, now thorns and thistles are going to grow up for you. They're going to be in your way. Childbirth. Might have been a little bit of strain. We don't know about that. We say, oh, it's absolutely. And I said, you will experience more pain. I mean, based on what I know about sizes and things, there's going to be a little bit of pain. Regardless. But it's going to be intensified. First Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? You can substitute more accurately, simple. Simple things. Simple people. When Angela was, and I think it was Karen, they talked about some of the preachers they'd had in the denominational church they attended years ago, and how a preacher would come in, he'd be full of fire, and got great, you know, he's great, but then he goes to seminary. He comes back and he's dead. They neutered him. They took away what God had put in them. Because this is how we think God is. God isn't a three-piece suit. Although I do like a nice suit. Just in the summertime, I like to be a little more casual. I like to be casual all the time. What am I saying? Y'all know that. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to those to save those who believe. The simpleness of the message of Jesus Christ. Why did we make it so difficult? Oh, no, we got to baptize you when you're a baby. I've told you this before, I'll tell you again. The reason they did that was because now they, in their mind, think you're a part of that church forever. You're on their books. And it was about a power struggle. Our church is bigger than yours. We got 10 people that come, but we got 700 baptized. Where are they at? Oh, no, they're not here. That's exactly why they baptize babies. You're a Catholic from the day one. You'll be a Catholic till you die. No, I'm a Christian. That's it. Cut and dry. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. So people are trying to make it difficult. God, if you want me to do, didn't he just tell you? The fact that God told you to take that step, isn't that sign enough? Understand something. You pay for every sign you ask for. There will be some that will disagree with me, but why don't you go ask Gideon? He started out with 20,000 warriors or people to fight. But he kept asking. He asked for three signs, right? He asked for three signs. God reduced his ranks three times. You're going up against a powerful army of 20,000. You've got 20,000. That's a lot of troops. That's like all of Camp Lejeune. That was 50,000 when I was there. God says, I'm going to keep reducing you to where he had 300 to go up against 20,000. And God said, I'm going to give you the M60 Echo 3 machine gun. It fires 900 rounds a minute. You're going to come down there, just blast and take them all down. Nope, God didn't say that, did he? God said, I want you to take trumpets. I want you to take torches. And I want you to come running down the side of the mountain. And when you get so far, you break the vase that's, or the shield that's over top of the torch, and you blow on the trumpet, and those without trumpets, you shout for the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. And the Bible says that the Ammonites were so confused, they killed whatever was moving. Pretty much killed themselves. God wants you to understand today that it's the simple things, not all of your convoluted ideas on what should be happening. The craziest part of being an adult after you raised your children is letting them go, letting them live their life. It's theirs, not yours. You got to make your decision, right or wrong. Been a couple times I made the wrong ones. But many times, and every time, I had to trust God on the right one. Okay, God, I screwed up. You got to help me fix this. You got to fix this. God used the simple thing of Jesus Christ coming and dying as a baby. The simplest thing of humankind. It can't talk. It can't walk. It poops itself. You have to feed it. You have to protect it. God sent a baby who would later grow to a man. And that one man's death would redeem all of mankind. See, the Jews didn't want to believe. They needed a sign. We need a sign. Jesus said, the only sign you'll get is the sign of Jonah. I'll be dead 3 days. They really didn't like that one. But the Greeks, we need to just get the philosophy going here. We need to, okay, we got God right here. We got this. And then these stars align over here. That's what the church has done with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, to get saved, we got to do this first. Then you need to go through our class before you're saved. And then after 6 months, you're saved. Like Rob and I were talking, what about the thief on the cross? He just said, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. Jesus said, today you will be with me. Because the Bible says, if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord with your mouth, you will be saved. You will be saved. Confession. Now your walk, it's going to take you some time on cleaning that walk up. Take some time. Don't expect people to be casting out demons the next day. I was talking with a brother the other day, a couple weeks ago, actually. And we were just talking about this, how people who get saved, yeah, they may have faith right away to start casting out demons. So they people put them in a pulpit and they wonder why they fall. He's a baby. He's a baby. He does not know what he's doing yet. There are things. But that's up here. But salvation, we're all right here. We all got saved when we believed on Jesus Christ. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and the Greeks foolishness. They couldn't get it in their heads that one from their own ranks would be the one. And the Greeks, well, they just didn't want to accept it. That's a Jew. And that's stupid. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You and I are that foolishness and that weakness, folks. We are the representatives of Christ on this earth. Now, I like to use the word simple again over foolish, because foolish carries a different connotation. I've seen some foolish people. People are undisciplined in their life, and then they say, oh, God made me do it. God didn't make you do that. I had a donut this morning. Did God make me have that donut? No. Art got up, went over, and I did not pick the cream-filled one this time. I let somebody else have one. I just got a plain donut. Put it on my plate, sat down, and I ate it. God didn't tell me to do it. But to sit there and say, well, I'm trying to figure out why I'm having a hard time, you know, with cholesterol and all that crap. And if I'm eating that, I already know those aren't good for that. But do you know how many donuts I've had in the last 6 months? There's a time in life I would have ate most of the first box in one sitting. But now, walking in God, I'm still stronger than the world. And I consider myself simple and weak. Because God does not sit there and judge and say, well, you know what, Pastor, Art, you know, you've only built a church this big in 24 years. Yes, Lord. I've preached to those you've sent me. I've loved them. Had a few betrayals. But that's okay. So did you. You lost a whole bunch in one meeting. And even the 500 that were supposed to be waiting in the upper room, there was only 120 left. They didn't believe you. That's not on me. But what I love, what I yearn to hear when I go before God is, well done, good and faithful servant. You ran your race. You ran your race. I'm not running Rod Parsley's race. I'm not running Kenneth Copeland. I'm running Art Waddell's race. And we are here, and you are a part of this. And I tell you right now, while we may be small, we are mighty. Because our prayers go forth. The things that happen, that's why I told you, we will pray. God will get through to her. We're just going to keep praying. God keeps sending those workers. Send those laborers. Everywhere she goes. I'm out here at the pool. Why are you telling me about God and why it's important to be in church? It's vitally important. Doesn't mean you're any more saved. It does mean that your faith is usually stronger. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, but not many mighty, not many noble are called. I graduated with a 1.75. I joined the Marines, not the Air Force. The Marines had the lowest mental requirements available. Can you carry a rifle? Yep. All right. However, I never thought myself stupid. But what I learned to do was obey and trust God. I've had to trust God with so many things. And it's like, hey, I can encourage you and tell you, trust him. You may not see that next step, but when I'm going to tell you right now, if you go to make the step, it'll be there. But God has chosen the foolish, simple things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. We run into a problem when we decide, well, I've been in this for 40 years. I need to have this, 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 and this. I do have a problem when somebody, I'm going to have you in to preach in my church, and you tell me, first off, you got to have $15,000 to show up. And then I've got to put you up in a minimum of a 4-star hotel, and you got to have a Mercedes. There are a couple who are like that. I'm like, well, you pay for your own hotel and you get whatever offering we get. Because my Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. That's why we've never charged for CDs. We've asked for a donation to pay for the CD or the tape back then. But now it's online. We don't even make them anymore. Go online, you can watch it all day long. But God uses the simple things, the easy things. And you're standing back and saying, why didn't I think of that? Because you were overthinking it. You know, the devil was trying to take them wheels off, Dave. And God moved on to your friend and said, I'll go get him. I will go trade places. I will sit in the sun. He was cool. He was clean. He was sitting there in the shade having a nice tea. He said, I'll trade places with him. That's a good friend. And then to open it up to people that I just met in May. I just met him and he says, hey, if your church wants to come here, you just make arrangements with my daughter and it's yours. So I'm here to tell you, I'm thinking about it. It was really nice. And it's free. But God uses those things. Well, brother, don't you know we ought to pay for our... Are you stupid and still not getting what I'm saying? God blesses you, and it doesn't actually cost you. God gave me my dream house. And when we looked at it, it's like, it's not our dream house. You've heard the story. My wife cried when she left. Why? Because there were 4 boys in her family who were excited. We've got nothing but fields around us. We've got a massive barn. All of us boys were excited about this. She cried. And you know what God told her? He said, follow his lead. God gave us our dream house. It didn't look like our dream house. But it is our dream house. Simple. But we got content first. We had to quit trying to do it on our own. And base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Now, we got people in here who've got degrees. And God's not talking slamming that. He's talking about people that think they're too smart to believe in God. Too smart to believe that he's like Neil Tyson deGrasse. You understand this stuff, but you're a moron, sir. You deny God. And the evidence is there that this did not happen by accident. Bill Nye, the science guy, there is no God. Then why are you here? You're not here because 2 molecules met in the air and clashed and this entire world's here. That God gave somebody, you know, Joe and Faye were just down to see the New River Gorge. It's beautiful. God had to give somebody some wisdom to build a bridge to get across there. And some of these bridges that they build, especially over in Europe, they've got these machines that they drive out on them, and it passes these huge concrete and steel beams through them. And they put it together, and it just keeps going. And they got two of them until they meet in the middle. They may be off, but they make them work. That's still God. Well, I thought you said wisdom. No, God's wisdom. One of the men God used to help with the space shuttles came from a poor coal town in West Virginia. Watch October Sky. He was just a boy, got fascinated by rockets. And there he worked for NASA. His dad was just a coal miner. God has chosen and the things which are not to bring to nothing that the things that are, and that no flesh should glory in his presence. We're not going to get up there and stand before and say, look what I did, Lord. What did you do? I built a house. Good for you. I built the universe. Oh, okay. But Pastor, but God, look at my ministry. I built all this. I labored. He's the one who built it. Whatever you do, you did. You provided the labor. But without God, none of it happened or was ever going to happen. Because we get it all from God. And about the time you think you did it, understand something. Your plans are going to fall apart until you get content and say, God, my hands are off. You know my heart. I keep messing it up. I keep sticking, I got to get in there and dig up the sewer. Let me tell you how to drain the swamp. Quit stirring it. Figure out what's holding the water back. Blow it out and let it dry. Because if you keep sticking a stick in there, if you've never been in a swamp, and I've been in a few, it stinks. You stir up some most ungodly odors. And it doesn't go away. It just smells worse. You've got to get the water out of it. But God will use people. But you got to understand, it's not you, it's not me. It's God. I met Tricia, first time I met her. She lived in this little trailer. I mean, was it from there to there, maybe? It wasn't very big. 72? Okay. Okay, so it was the length of the building. God just kept moving. She took a step out and said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this house, Lord, but you made it up, made the opportunity. She took the house. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Now she's got a husband. She's moved a couple of times since, and they got a very nice house. And how long have you guys been married? 16. 16. I was like, wow. Has it really been that long? Then I realized next year, Joshua and Tony have been married 10. I'm like, holy smoke. Time. How long have you guys been married? 13. Who else in here have I married? You guys, Jason and Kayla, Matt and Michelle, Kayla. And it's time's gone by. And it's awesome to watch what God's doing in each one of your lives. But not because I'm so smart. I'm not. I always tell people I'm too dumb to not believe God. God says to do something, well, we just got to do it. Just got to trust him. Lord, I don't understand why, but I'm going to trust you. If you're facing problems, first off, ask God, am I the problem? And he's going to say, ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I need you to get out of the situation. Shut your mouth and let me work. Just like Ahab was like, who is in my bedroom telling the enemy what I am doing? And the servant says, Lord, Elijah, what am I going to do? My wife is going to kill him. That worked out good for her. The dogs ate her flesh. Folks, sometimes we're our biggest problem because we think, well, I've just got to do it. No, I've come to the point in my life, I'm not everybody's savior. I can't do everything. I have to trust and let God move in their lives. When I told Monica, I said, you got to go, girl. You got to do it. You got to step out and trust God. And I know it was scary. I did it. But you do it. But only because God is leading you. I wouldn't tell everybody to quit your job, what you've been doing for the last 30 years, and go try your on your own. It's not for everybody. But without God, it's impossible. But with God, he goes before and he straightens those paths up. One after the other. Lord, I'm not seeing any more road ahead. What's going on? I'm not even there yet. You just keep walking. You're not, we're on pace. There'll be road there when I get there. Why? Because God has other people doing things. Well, I built this myself. No, you didn't. I didn't do this myself. I mean, just in the sheer sweat equity in this place. There's so much blood, sweat, and sometimes tears. Usually when I hurt something. And the blood, too. But it's about being simple. Quit overcomplicating God. God doesn't need you to understand quantum physics in order for you to change somebody's universe. Let's stand. We don't always know how God's going to do something. Just know he's going to. Because you asked him. And you have to ask according to his will. I know so many people, they wanted, oh, I want to be wealthy. I want this. What are you going to do with it? Well, first thing I'm going to do, it's funny you didn't tithe. Trust me, the government's going to get their share whether you tithe or not. But the fact that you went out and built an empire before you ever said, I'm going to give God what belongs to God. And you can hang it because that money's going to hang you. I've seen it time and time again. People wanted money. Oh, I want what they got. I want to do what they did. One, they're driving a 30-year-old car. They don't go but 5 miles from their home. And they live in assisted living. So I don't want what you got. I want to live in my own home. I don't have to have the fanciest of trucks. I just want one that's not going to break down every time I turn around. I got tired of pulling a transmission every week. It gets old. I got to get this in. I got a job to go do in the morning. I got so good, 15 minutes I could have a transmission out. That's not good. You know what I did? I quit listening to other people what they thought I had to have. I've been happier ever since. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the example of Naaman, of how just one simple act of dipping in a river 7 times, you healed that man. But Father, not only that, you brought salvation to his entire household. Lord God, I thank you that as we walk this path, that we walk this path of life, Lord God, that you are leading us. Father, your word says, rejoice, for the steps of the righteous are ordered by you. Lord God, righteous means we are doing what you say to do. We're following your example. So, Lord, I thank you that we're all tuning in now to hear more about what you say versus what everybody else says, versus what we think needs to be done. Father, you were the one who pushed the walls of Jericho down. You were the one who dried the Red Sea. Father, you were the one that shut the mouths of the lions. You were the one inside the furnace. You literally were the one in there. Just because they wouldn't bow. Father, help us all to not bow to peer pressure of other people, to go against what you've said, but Father, and also not to bow to our own wisdom. And Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I know many of them are in situations that seem hopeless. Lord, I pray right now that you begin to open those doors. Father, I thank you that you're moving, that you're going to make ways where the ways have been shut. Lord God, no matter what somebody sitting behind the desk has said, you will have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.